At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey yo, this is Gear, and when I'm not helping out my pal Static, I have my backpack always playing Geekcast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, Steve June Mike, and joining me is JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Are you sure?
I think so. I'm going crazy, but that's nothing new.
We all go a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Mainly when watching a certain Fantastic Four cartoon that shall not be named, World's Greatest Heroes.
Today we are jumping back into the DeLorean for one final time with our heading set for 1994 and Fantastic Four. To set the stage for this one, Fantastic Four, also known as Fantastic Four, the animated series, we all know how certain people hate that term, is the third animated television series based on Marvel's comic book series of the same name. Airing began on September 24th, 1994, until ending on February 24th, 1996. The series ran for two seasons with 13 episodes per season, making 26 episodes in total. I don't know. I remember watching this show, but it was like, I remember the voice cast more than I remember the actual stories.
I'll tell you one thing that I remember. Worst theme song ever. First season only, because the second season did like this big band, kind of very bombastic sound, which, you know, worked very well, I thought, but you know, that on an outer space, oh God, I wanted to claw my ears off my head. And just like, the thing just loves to fight. We know that. You know, Johnny's the Human Torch. Well, duh. No, it's just, I know some of my friends, both here in Saskatoon and online, don't like the Avengers theme song. I love that theme song.
Oh, God.
However you might feel about it, I love it. You know, everyone's
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Here's what I'll say, and you're talking about Earth's Mightiest Heroes, right?
Yes, not okay. United They Stand. That should go die in a ditch.
Yeah, thank God we never covered that in this season.
A very wise choice on your part.
Yes. What I will say about Earth's Mightiest Heroes theme song, as I said in episode 32, I prefer the outro to Avengers, where there's no fucking lyrics. I like the instrumental of it. I like the actual music of it, but the lyrics, I'm sorry, they fucking suck.
I'll disagree with you. I like the lyrics, so.
It's kind of like a Linkin Park song, Past Meteor.
Oh, no.
I swear that's to
the,
God.
The singer,
it's a Linkin Park song. I swear to God.
Better than Linkin Park.
No. Oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? No. The world is about to break, or, oh God, what is it? What the hell's the actual name of the song? It's, God, I forget what the, we mentioned it in the Avengers episode. Anyway, we're getting off on a tangent here. What do you remember about watching Fantastic Four in the 90s?
Well, I did see it somewhat sporadically because I saw it this series whenever I traveled before I moved to Saskatoon from where I grew up on the farm. So I used to be able to see it when we came to visit family in Saskatoon on Saturdays because they had cable. And a few times in the early 90s when the whole family would truck to Minot, North Dakota for a Lions convention. And my dad was a part of that group. So, again, cable. We got to watch all sorts of awesome American television. And would start begging my dad to get a satellite dish. And eventually he did, so it paid off. But no, I dug the series. Like, it was airing, same time as the Iron Man series. And like FF has been, I like a lot of different comic books, and FF has always, it's kind of been up there in favorite Marvel / favorite comic book teams. So,
right,
and this was the first FF series I found. It was like a couple of years later, I found like the 60s Hanna-Barbera series. And then I heard about the 70s version, but I've never seen the 70s version of Fantastic Four. And I really dug this series because basically when I started watching it, it was in the second season already.
Right.
And then eventually I found the first season. There's a couple episodes here and there, but most of the time, like I said, I want to claw my ears off because of that theme song. But it was overall, this is kind of like, the second season of Iron Man was so much better than the first. The same thing with the FF here. And I really did dig this series. Not as much as I dug, World's Greatest Heroes, aside from the douche. But, This is a good series. I mean, especially for probably one of the more recent that people would remember. I mean, by the time this came out, people either didn't remember or just outright ignored the previous stuff.
I mean this series, I would say the first season is better. That's the funny thing, outside of X-Men season 5, the other, because I don't count, I like all 5 seasons of Spider-Man, the animated series. I don't care what anyone says. I like them. I like the stories it tells.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that and outside of X-Men season 5, every other Marvel cartoon in the 90s, well, and you really can't count Spidey Unlimited since it only had one season. Every other cartoon in the 90s for Marvel, it's like either season 1 is good or season 2 is good. It's like either or. It's like, hey, let's have a shitty season and then let's have a really good season, and vice versa. So, I don't know. It's, so weird. But again, this was actually my introduction to the Fantastic Four as a kid. Even though I only caught episodes here and there, the episodes I did catch were ones that focused around Ben and Johnny arguing and fighting with each other. I mean, essentially, Ben and Johnny are one of the first superhero cartoon comic book bromances before bromance really became a term. I mean, they just are. And then when the movies came out, and Chris Evans and Michael Chiklis played the two, Chris Evans played Johnny Storm, Michael Chiklis played Ben Grimm, just comparing this cartoon series to those Marvel movies, or Fox, or whoever the hell owns Fantastic Four now, I forget. I think it's Fox. I don't know. I loved what they did and how they transitioned, and I just absolutely loved this series.
No, I can agree to that. It doesn't stack up very well against the movies, but as a representation of the comic books,
right,
it is very well done.
And that was Marvel's thing back then in the 90s was, hey, we want people to read our comics. Let's make cartoons based on our comic stories so people will go, like, again, referencing X-Men, Phoenix and Dark Phoenix. After rewatching those sagas, made me want to go back and read the comics that they're based off of. Same thing with the Fantastic Four, same thing with Spider-Man, not so much Hulk because the Hulk series sucks. But you know,
it's
just one of those things where this is how in the 90s, this is how I got into comics, was watching these Marvel cartoon series, regardless of if the animation's bad, regardless if the stories are bad, regardless if they make no sense to me now. As a 14-year-old, this made me want to go out and buy Fantastic Four comics. It just did.
No, I can get that. I mean, you know, just to speak about the Spidey thing, there wasn't a lot of stories in that series taken from the comic books. I mean, the origins of some of the characters, more or less, like the Scorpion, the Morbius was almost completely different. Morbius the Living Vampire is almost completely different from how he got it in the comic books.
Right, but I mean, stuff like the alien costume and stuff like Secret War and
I really, really, really hate clones.
Oh, I love the clones.
I'm sorry, Mike. As a lifelong Spider-Man comic book fan,
I love that because it's not...
No, you can love it. I don't.
But the reason why... I'm trying to think. Secret War and the clone episodes are different, right? Secret War was the team up,
and then the followed by the Clone Wars. It was basically that was the series finale.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. The reason why I love those two episodes is because I got to learn about different incarnations of Spider-Man. Because by that time, I had only known classic Spidey.
Yeah,
I don't know, 616 universe, whatever. I don't know the fucking comic universes.
Well,
yeah, all I'm saying is the reason why I liked those episodes was because I got to see so many different Spider-Man from so many different eras.
Well, yeah, no, that was one of the cool things about. I mean, it was more so a chance to. I mean, because of I know how the comic stories, like the whole Iron Spidey armor, that was really just like a one-off from the issue. And
right.
Then the whole Spider Carnage, which was lifted from the comic books of the time when Spider-Man's clone, they had this whole thing where they thought Ben Reilly, who was the original Spider-Man clone from the 70s, it was said that he was really Spider-Man.
Right.
And the Peter Parker that we've known for like the last however many years was the clone, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like that design and all that, but yeah, just the whole clone, for me, the clone saga story in the comics has left a huge bitter taste in my mouth.
Okay. In the comics, I can see that, but coming from someone that has at that point, especially in the 90s, that never read the comics and that series got me into the comics. The clone saga in the cartoon series wasn't as bad as maybe what it is in the comics, at least.
Yeah,
getting back to Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Spider-Man tangent. Getting back to Fantastic Four, getting into the voice cast, you had Beau Weaver as Mr. Fantastic, Laurie Allen as Invisible Woman, Quentin Flynn as Human Torch, Chuck McCann as The Thing, Brian Austin Green as Johnny Storm in season 1. Quentin Flynn played Human Torch in season 2. Oh boy. That's one thing I have always hated is they'll start out with a voice actor or they'll start out with an actor that does a voice and then they change it and I hate that in one like if you're going to use Brian Austin Green for the full series. And then the next, like, World's Greatest Heroes was the next one to use a different voice actor. That's fine. But to change it, I hate all the voice changes in one singular series. That goes for anything. I don't like when they do that because it's so confusing. It's like cartoons are turned into soap operas. Johnny Storm today will be played by blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, like that, I can get it.
Yeah. John Vernon played the first voice of Dr. Doom. Neil Ross played the second voice. He also played Puppet Master Warlord Krang. Hey, wait a second. What the hell is a brain doing in this show? Super Skrull for season 1. Simon Templeton played Dr. Doom's third voice. And Pauline Arthur Lomas played Alicia Masters. For the guest cast, we have Edward Albert, Greg Berger, Mary Kay Bergman, Jane Carr, Rocky Carroll, Dick Clark as himself. Very sad seeing that name just now. Anyway,
yeah.
Jim Cummings was in it. Keith David, Michael Dorn. Oh my God! Wow, we got Worf in here. Holy crap! Ron Feinberg, Ron Friedman, Brad Garrett as Hydro Man. Oh my God! George Gee, Dan Gilvezan as Warlord Moret. Benny Grant, Richard Greco again as Ghost Rider, Mark Hamill as the Kree Sentry. He also plays Maximus the Mad and Triton's second voice. Jess Harnell as Impossible Man, Super Skrull Season 2. Jamie Horton, Psycho Man. Chris Howerton, Claw. Kathy Ireland as Crystal. Now, who the hell was Crystal?
She was one of the Inhumans. Just look up the Marvel Comics, the Inhumans on Wiki. And
yeah, I clicked on her name and it pulled up the Wiki article, and she's pretty hot. So, yay, Kathy Ireland's hot this time around. Tony Jay as Galactus and Terax in Season 1. Wow. I can see Tony Jay pulling off Galactus. That's kind of weird. Megabyte and Galactus in the same sentence. Ugh, okay.
He did Galactus in the Silver Surfer series as well, I believe.
Oh, cool. You have Clyde Kusatsu as Annihilus, K.E. Cooter as Ego the Living Planet, and then you have Mr. Stan Lee as himself and his wife, I believe it's his wife, Joan Lee, as Mrs. Lavina Forbes, Kerrigan Mann as the Seeker. Wait. Is that Goldar? What the hell is Goldar doing in this series?
Picking up a paycheck?
Probably. No, it's not the same. Let me see. I'm just looking here. I'm trying to see if it's... Yeah, it is. Wow, it is Goldar. Huh. Weird. Helen Oppenheimer as Fire Lord. Gary Owens as himself. Oh my God. Ron Perlman as Bruce Banner, Riff Reagan as Melinda, John Rhys Davies as Thor, Robert Ridgely as Skrull Emperor, Robin Sachs as Silver Surfer Season 1, Bill Smitrovich as Daredevil, Gina Tuttle as female TV reporter, and James Warwick as Namor. Overall, I think this is a pretty stellar voice cast. Outside of the it's a stellar voice cast, but I don't like that they had to change voices. For certain characters, that was kind of silly to me.
Yeah. No, I get that. The whole, three different Doctor Dooms, although Simon Templeman's probably my favorite because he got more of that, kind of that upper crust kind of regal sound in his voice.
Right.
More so than John Vernon or Neil Ross did. I mean, again, the Dean from Animal House.
Yep.
Working for Marvel. I think probably when you look at the voice cast, I mean, you got, Michael Dorn, Worf from Star Trek as Gorgon, member of the Inhumans, and then Rocky Carroll, who plays Director Vance on NCIS right now. That's because when you read off the name, it's like, isn't that the dude? And I was like, click, click. It's like, yeah, that's Director Vance, from NCIS. So right. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Yeah, Dick Clark, he was in the very first episode of this because he was on some telethon interview talk show thing, and because they did the obligatory origin episode with the. Them talking about how they went into space and they got their powers and the fact that they were renting the top 10 floors of the Baxter building before they bought it.
Yeah.
And that's where Stanley's wife, Miss Forbes, I believe, was their landlady who had this bitchy little dog. And she's like, I don't like all the noises coming from behind your door, and just constantly trying to find a way to get them out.
Right,
which was that kind of forced humor thing that happened to a lot of animated series in the 90s. But I think, the biggest names in here, like you said, you got Jess Harnell as Impossible Man, which is wow, that was perfect. because Impossible Man is basically, in Marvel Comics, he is the Animaniacs. He's this almost irrepressible, hyperkinetic alien from another planet that has, like, basically, he is the Mr. Mixius Pitalik.
Oh my god.
To the Fantastic Four Superman. Like, he can transform into anything. He makes the laws of physics his bitch. So,
yeah.
And, but I think my favorite, Neil, okay, you got, again, you got Richard Grieco back as Ghost Rider in the one of the Galactus episodes. You got Mark Hamill in here, you know, putting in his time, which is awesome. And I'm going to speak blue for a moment. You got Keith motherfucking David.
Yeah.
Goliath as Black Panther, which was awesome. But
yeah.
I think overall my favorite voice or favorite member of the voice cast was Tony Jay as Galactus, because that dude just has a voice that, you know, I don't care. He's reading the phone book I'm listening kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Jay was just amazing. I wish.
Sadly.
You know, he's not with us anymore. I wish he still was, because that would be an interview to end all interviews. I mean, yeah. You would have, in that interview, you would have Galactus, Megabyte, and Shere Khan all at once. And that would be just amazing.
And also, just looking at his animation wiki here, he was also Chairface Chippendale on The Tick. Which is another reason why I love that show. And, wow, I didn't know that he was the narrator on Skeleton Warriors.
Yep.
I mean, this dude, you know, Tony motherfucking J, you know.
Yeah.
Then there's only a few men in the world that you can, you know, add the MF between their names like that, and he's one of them. So, yeah, no, awesome voice cast, man. Like, it just... You know, it's just the days of yore for Saturday morning animation.
Yeah, you know, since you brought that up, I think that's actually coming back, because every Saturday at this point I watch Thundercats, Green Lantern, and Young Justice. I mean, granted, it's Eastern time here, the real time zone, 9:30, 10. And 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's an hour and a half of really good Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, granted, it's not, you know, the 80s where it's 6 a.m. to noon, but at least it's something to do on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, you get a good slice of nostalgia watching, at least nowadays, like with a lot of series like that. And not necessarily the superhero stuff, but just a lot of animated series nowadays. Like, there is this sense that guys like us who are watching cartoons back in the day are now making cartoons.
Right,
and that love is crossing over into the work, so.
Yep. Any of those stories you want to go over for the seasons? Are there any, like, major ones that we need to mention?
Well, the one thing I think you could just talk about a little bit more in depth maybe is just the fact that, like Iron Man, there was this complete overhaul for season two. I mean, again, very much like Iron Man, the first season, Fantastic Four, had this He-Man versus Skeletor, you know, good versus evil. You know, there wasn't a lot of story, per se, in each episode. Right. In the first season. It was just done in one and on with life. Whereas the second season had not as much as Iron Man, had a recurring storyline with the Mandarin reclaiming his rings, but they had like three different Galactus Silver Surfer episodes wherein Doctor Doom is like, I must have the power, you know, and he's trying to sap off the power cosmic and, you know, take over the world and get his revenge on Reed Richards and all that. But yeah, like the second season, updated animation, better theme song. Johnny wasn't, I wouldn't say he was any more of a dick in the first season, but it's just the characters and the writing came together more cohesively in this season.
Mm.
And yeah, I like the one thing I noticed from the first season is I like the darker uniform designs, because the first season was, you know, this very almost sky blue with, you know, white collar and boots and gloves on
right.
Three members of the team. In the second season, they got this darker blue, you know, much more like the comics.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, more attention was paid in the second season. I don't know why it wasn't paid in the first, but, you know.
Well, the first season was, at least for animation, was done by Wang and Kennedy.
So. You said Wang.
Well, it was.
I know, but it's funny.
I'm trying to think here. The first season was primarily written by Ron Friedman. Well, the second season was overseen by Tom Tatarinowski. I don't know how to say his last name. Through noticeably having fewer introductions by Stan Lee, with several of the new shorter intros being used more than once. Not only that, Four Freedoms Plaza replaced the Baxter Building as the Fantastic Four's home base in Season 2. The Season 2 episodes also drew upon John Byrne's 1980s run on the Fantastic Four comic, as well as John Buscema's artwork, in addition to further Lee and Kirby adventures. Overall, I mean, the stories that the show told, regardless if the first season was bad and the second season was good, it was a pretty solid series for the most part. I mean, there wasn't anything... There wasn't anything... that really made me say I'm never watching this show ever again. It introduced me to these characters, and then when the movies came along, I loved the characters even more for what the movies did with them. Apparently, there was supposed to be a season 3, which never happened. According to season 2 supervising producer Tom Tatarankiewicz, I don't know how to say his last name, had there been a third season of Fantastic Four, he would have wanted to go into the whole Sue Storm pregnancy story arc. In his eyes, this would have given the production crew a chance to do their own take on the Submariner, who only appeared in Season 1, as he played the arc in the FF issues leading up to around Issue 100. He also wanted to bring in Medusa and She-Hulk into the mix as part of the Fantastic Four. I don't think they would have gotten away with that if it had happened. I don't think 94 to 9. When did the show end? 96.
Yeah.
94 to 96. I mean, it's hard to crack those 90s censors. I mean, Tiny Toons did it well enough, but I mean, it was hard to crack those censors back then. So doing a pregnancy storyline in a superhero cartoon, I don't think they would have gotten away with that.
Well, I mean, they could have gotten away with it, is because the idea was, because I remember reading about this not too long ago, as I am wont to do. Basically, they were going to almost write Susan out and bring in, like what they did in the comic books when she was pregnant, was bring in Medusa and She-Hulk. I mean, She-Hulk really came in the comics when the Thing left for a while. But, I mean, they're going to write in, you know, Medusa and then She-Hulk as part of the group,
right?
You know, to fill that slot. And I mean, it could have been done, like, basically Sue's pregnant, and, you know, over the course of the third season you would see her getting bigger and bigger, and then the birth would have happened entirely off screen. Like, she goes into the operating theater and Reed comes out with Franklin Richards. You know, that's, you won't see anything. You'll hear the cry of Franklin, but you won't hear Susan like, give me the Demerol. You know, to
give me the juice.
Yeah, just give me the juice. Yeah, no, it's just, they could have done it. It would have been like way dumbed down and way simplified. Yeah. So, I mean, that could have happened. Yeah. It might not have happened very well, but no, I mean, so where are we on the list here? Lost my place.
Season 3.
Yeah. Oh, so, like, then we go into the favorite episodes, do we not?
Yeah, you can talk about some favorite episodes. Okay. Yeah.
Cool thing about Fantastic Four, more so than Iron Man that was running concurrently with this, is there are several there are three classic FF stories that they translated into animation. There was, you know, of course, the three or four Galactus episodes.
Right.
There was the Mask of Doom, which is basically in the 60s, one of the classic FF stories from the original couple of years was Doctor Doom kidnaps Sue Storm, and he has basically a time platform, which, you know, he's the only guy in the Marvel Universe that conquered time travel. And he sends Ben, Johnny, and Reed back in time to find these mystic gems that'll help him increase his power. And in the comic books, Ben becomes Blackbeard and such like that. It's one of the classic tales. So they animate that. Then there's the three-part Inhuman Saga, which basically it follows the beats of the comic books, how Medusa and the rest of the Inhuman royal family are out in the world, and she gets amnesia and becomes part of the first Frightful Four. And then she gets loose, and Johnny chases after and meets Crystal and falls in love with her. And then the Inhumans fight the Fantastic Four, and they go back to, you know, fight against Maximus the Mad, Black Bolt's evil brother. And then they're sealed off from the world for a while. And it followed. A lot of the stories did follow some of the most classic and very much cherished Fantastic Four comic book stories.
Right.
And there's other stuff like first episode of the second season. It's again, this is another one that's based off of a two-part comic book story where the Fantastic Four lost their powers due to Dr. Doom's machinations, and basically Daredevil's kind of got to show them you can be heroes with a handicap. And, you know, because in the cartoon, basically Reed devises like exosuits that allows them to like kind of simulate their powers and
right
such
yeah,
like
I
that.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, overall, it was a great series. I mean, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of that first season, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so as far as how it stacks up, as far as how does the show stack up within the same franchise, well, at least for animation, this was the first cartoon, wasn't it?
I mean, this is technically the third series, but...
Well, right, but I don't remember anything.
No, this would be the first series for many people.
Right, yeah. So,
again, you couldn't compare it. I mean, we can compare it now to World's Greatest Heroes, but there's really nothing else to compare it to, aside from if you remembered the 60s series at the time.
No.
Again, you couldn't really compare, because again, even that first season, the stories were a little more involved and a little more better plotted and paced out than the 60s. But again,
right,
what's great about the 60s series is it's so simple and you just kind of get into it.
Yeah.
And run with it. So
what would you rank this amongst other superhero cartoons in the same in the genre?
Basically, I would throw this up against pretty much all of the 90s Marvel series.
Yeah.
Maybe minus Unlimited. I don't think that was 90s specifically.
It was 99.
Yeah. So kind of shoehorn that in there. But yeah, you could stack it up against, you know, X-Men, Spidey, Iron Man, even the Hulk a little bit. And again, to dip my toes into the DC pool, you could throw this up against Superman. Maybe not so much Batman, because just the way they were doing the Superman cartoon was this very Silver Age-esque, you know, fun, and it wasn't too serious, but it wasn't too silly either. You know, right, that there was a lot of respect for the comics, and that was definitely inherent in this Fantastic Four cartoon. So,
yeah.
You could do it like that. I mean, I know you don't like the Hulk, and the Hulk, it's like the flip version of Iron Man and Fantastic Four, but definitely you could throw this up against Spider-Man and X-Men.
Yeah. All right, 0 to 4, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 2. Like, if I'm recommending this for anyone else, I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah.
2.5. I mean, I want the DVD collection. I haven't been able to find it, so.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a strong 2 as well. It's a nice bit of nostalgia at this point, but it's not anything you, like, really need to seek out. I mean, if you want to get into Fantastic Four, yeah, sure. As far as the reception, As with the case with its sister show on the Marvel Action Hour, Iron Man, the first season of Fantastic Four was poorly received by fans and critics. Many criticized the first season for its campy tone and silly acting in the show. As previously mentioned, the show was revamped for a second season in 1995 with revamped characters, more complex stories, and more mature tone. However, despite mixed positive reviews from the critics and fans, ratings still dropped, which led to the show's cancellation. It is on DVD. Following the release of the 2005 live-action film, the Walt Disney Company, through Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment, released the series on Region 1 DVD on July 5th. The DVD set now featured new introductions by Stan Lee for all 26 episodes, replacing the original introductions, which had been removed for network broadcast. Additionally, pieces of footage from the episodes themselves had also been removed for network broadcast, and is these cut episodes that comprise the DVD set. I hate when they use cut episodes.
No one likes a clip show.
Exactly. So we're going to head to a commercial break, and we'll come back after that.
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched Mask to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCast Radio when you register.
So we are back, and for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Final thoughts on Fantastic Four 94, sir?
I love this series. Like, it's a huge slice of nostalgia for me, you know, especially because, you know, when I think about when I first got to watch this, was also times when I wasn't on the farm. I was in a city, and I know after cartoons are over, we're going to go out and see things and do stuff. And
right.
So it brings back a lot of present memories for me. But on top of that, and not beside that, but on top of that, it was one of the first, you know, like I said, it was the first animated Fantastic Four. It's certainly one of my favorites in the entire Marvel catalog of animation. And right. I dig it. I mean, you know, crappy theme song aside, I really do love this series. And I would have, you know, again, yeah, it would have rocked if they had done a third season, you know, pregnancy storyline or not. It would have just been awesome to see this go on just a little bit longer.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm going to have to seek out the DVD set myself just to, you know, I've caught episodes and clips here on YouTube and stuff like that, but...
It's not on Netflix?
No, it's not.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com is that address. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
It's @JT from Saskatoon, all one word.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a USB headset or a microphone on your computer, just go to the website on the right-hand side. There is a button that says Send Voicemail Now. You can do it directly from your computer. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be wrapping up the Season 1. First season of TuneCast Beyond is going to wrap up. We are going to have... various segments. I think myself, TV's Mr. Neil, and Play It Again Ben will be doing one segment on the DC Universe movies. JT, myself, and Sketch will be doing one on the Marvel stuff that we've talked about. And then myself, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Terror the Rising Star will do one on the other DeLorean times that have been done in this first season of TuneCast Beyond. So, yay! Season 1 is done. We are off. We will be back. We'll be back later this year. But, next week is the season finale of TuneCast Beyond. For now, I am TFG on Mike with...
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
That's just a phone, Hulk. If it's President Roosevelt, tell him I'm not here. Go ahead, answer it.
Ring. Ring.
Hulk, I believe Captain America is suggesting you answer the phone with words.
What phone what? Phone loud, but Hulk louder! Hulk loudest there is!